Image is a powerful force. What is in the eye of the beholder? What are predetermined ideas? I wanted to explore images of everyday reality, images of those who look like me. Some of the text from the new documentary Tea and Justice that premieres this weekend at the Queen's International Film Festival, filmmaker Ermina Vinluan picked an image of an Asian-American policewoman to explore, setting the preconceived notions that the world has about Asian women as quiet and subservient against her own preconceived notions about police officers, or as she calls them, cops. Ermina Vinluan joins me now, along with one of the three Asian New York City policewomen she profiles in the film, Agnes Chan, the city's first Asian American female officer. There are now some others. So welcome both of you to WNYC. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Ermina, as the filmmaker, what were your preconceived notions about the police?
Well, I have mixed notions. Firstly, I'm an activist who got involved politically during the anti-Marcos dictatorship movement. And then next door in my neighborhood...
Are you from the Philippines originally?
My parents are. I was born in California.
Uh-huh.
And then next door, we had the local Alameda City police chief, who I grew up with and close family friends with. And it was a little different because he was part Native American, so I didn't feel as intimidated about him as I did with some of the cops at the political demonstrations.
Right. And how do you think Asian women are misperceived in the world?
Well, first of all, let's start with the U.S., not so much the world, because in Asia itself, their own self-image is very different than how it's conceived, preconceived here. There is this misrepresentation. As you said, the subservient image, and also as these, nerds, they're nurses. One time I was wearing white in the street and a man came up to me and said, "Oh, so you're a Filipina nurse?" No. And those kinds of stereotypes, both negative as well as positive, but still stereotypes.
Agnes, tell us a little bit about how you came to join the NYPD.
Well, I was attending a college in John Jay, and I was involved in an internship that took me down to a local precinct where, we decided to observe, make observation to help, bridge the gap between the community and the police department because there was a lack of communication. And the fact that in the Chinese culture, the police were perceived as, the enemy. And because of the language barrier, I saw that it was helpful that we got more Asian police officers on the police department.
And Ermina, you also focus on two other officers in the film, Trish Ormsby and Christine Leung.
Yes, Officer Trish Ormsby's story is what inspired the title because she was working at a Japanese company in Wall Street. And part of her job as a secretary was to serve tea to her male bosses.
And the title, again, is Tea and Justice.
Right, right. And then I riff on the whole notion of tea because I love tea. I use tea to meditate and I love how the Brits, when somebody's coming to visit and they're upset, they say, "Sit down, have a cup of tea." So I wanted to, connect the dots with all those images around tea.
So Detective Chan, were you ever asked to make tea for your fellow officers?
No, but sometimes you assume that I would make the morning coffee, which I refuse to do, of course, but...
So in your experience on the force, do women in general have to jump through extra hoops to be accepted?
Yes, I think it's like a continuous effort to try to prove ourselves and, take on the challenges faces every day. But it builds our character, makes us a stronger person.
So here is a clip of Trish Ormsby talking about her training in the film Tea and Justice.
Going to the police academy where they teach you how to be assertive, using your voice. It always reminds me of that comedy that they have with the female where she goes, "Police, don't move!" And they train her to lower her voice. That's what they did with me. So I had to start to learn how to lower my voice when I got on the radio or lower my voice and make it louder when I was giving a command, like order, like, "Police, don't move!" Not, "Please, don't move!"
Detective Chan, sound familiar?
Yes.
Did you have to go through voice training like that?
I didn't have to go through voice training, but there was always people questioning your ability. Sometimes it's hard. It's difficult because even from, especially from my own culture, like the Asian community, they always question because they, you know, being a woman and being a police officer with authority is just an out of question in the culture. So
listeners, Asian American listeners, you want to call in about breaking stereotypes in your job, whatever your line of work is, you don't have to have been a police officer, call up and talk about breaking stereotypes of Asian Americans in your line of work. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Or how about from non-Asian police officers about confronting your own stereotypes, perhaps, when Asians join the force, or from any non-Asians about working through your stereotypes of Asians in your workplace. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post a comment to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show for Agnes Chan, the city's first Asian American female police officer, one of the subjects of the film Tea and Justice, made by Ermina Vinwan, who is also with us. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Detective Chan, did you find more resistance within the department or in the community?
I think both equally, because of the assignments I was assigned to. I was assigned to escorting dignitary one time, and I had the Prime Minister of China. And as we were riding up on an elevator, they were speaking, you know, in the Chinese dialect, and after about 2 minutes, they stopped and they asked each other, does that officer speak Chinese? Does she understand us? And then it was dead quiet in the elevator. And this just show, you know, that that we actually, you know, experienced resistance from both, you know, very much.
It is, were you able to gain any advantages from being an Asian woman on the force? Are there ways in which it helped you do your job?
Yes, I think because of discipline that I have from, you know, family growing up, and also my language ability, I was able to utilize that skill in a lot of the tasks that I was working on, all the assignments.
Right. Now, here's another clip from the film where stereotypes are exploited to help the community. This, again, is Officer Trish Ormsby speaking.
A decoy is when you dress up as a victim, so that others don't have to be victims. And one of my favorite dress-up as far as decoy was a Chinese lady. I had to dress as a Chinese lady and walk around Canal Street because Asians were preyed upon the most. They were the number one target for robberies because most of the Asians didn't report the crime and they carried cash. They get paid in cash. So I would walk the platform, you know, with a big hat, straw hat, like I'm right from China, and I would dress in similar clothes and walk around with bags with Chinese food and just really look lost, and I would get robbed at least 3 times a day. It was exciting.
It was exciting to get robbed 3 times a day. Ermina, you want to talk about that clip and the issues that it raises?
Well, I think, first of all, one of the things that I learned in interviewing and getting to know these three protagonists in my documentary is that not anybody can be a cop, man or woman. It you know, it's not a job for everybody, and they've told me that over and over. And but there's something particular to women, I think, where if we are in a situation that requires, you know, a physical response, then we will rise to the occasion. You know, mothers are like fierce lionesses when they need to protect their children. And I've seen that with my mother. So this whole also altruism, I think, which women have, is also one of the strengths that I've seen that these women have. And then also the communication skills. That's something that I wanted to bring it as a theme, that the policing style of women tends to be more preventive rather than, nothing personal, Brian, against your gender, but men's policing style tends to be more reactive, where they use more their physical authority rather than communication skills.
Let's take a call. Tony in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tony.
Hey, good morning, Brian. I love your program.
Thanks a lot.
earlier you put out a call, you know, regarding Asian stereotypes and you know, how you overcame them. I am an Asian American. I was a medical sales rep, and it worked out well for a while, but I had difficulty with my managers. They were looking for basically a closure type. And the stereotype that they kind of put me in was, you know, being Asian, very, very meek and mild-mannered, and I guess from the sound of my voice, I am. But I'm not sure if it was a stereotype.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No.
Well, you called a talk show, Tony.
Well, I mean, this is my first opportunity to finally put a call into you guys. So, but yeah, the stereotype I had to get over was, you know, they wanted me to be to kind of get out of my envelope and basically become more aggressive, more closure type. And you know, that's really with the Asian American guys. What I see, most of them are kind of mild mannered and more of the amiable type. So,
right. So how did this work for you? When you say a closer type, that's somebody in sales who is kind of high pressure to try to close a deal, right?
Exactly.
And is this something that you trained yourself to be more like since you're in sales? Like we heard about, you know, that other clip of the police officer who was training herself to lower her voice and all of that stuff.
Yeah, it took some getting used to, and I wasn't really totally successful in doing so because I guess maybe it's my nature or just the way I was brought up, but I was taught really to respect other people's opinions and what they said and not necessarily, you know, put my point across with, you know, like kind of banging my fist on the table.
That's okay, you don't want to buy my product? Well, okay, I'll respect your right.
Can we still be friends?
That's right. Okay, Tony, thanks. Thanks for your call. So, but the difficult question that he raises there, Amina, is that to some degree, stereotypes are based on real tendencies in populations. Whether it's fair to stereotype, you know, obviously not. But there are tendencies in different populations. And so he talks about a tendency for Asian American men to be less aggressive in their demeanor than some other men.
I believe that also, but only in part. Definitely respect is an important tradition that Asian cultures still hold and should hold. But I think that tradition, once it comes to an Asian American context, it changes because of the racism and the national chauvinism towards immigrants. So it becomes this thing of respect turns more into kind of a self suppression. But, you know, we have that other side to us that will go out there and speak. So, for example, the third protagonist in the film, Detective Christine Leung Chua, when she tried to get into the police force, they wouldn't let her in because she was too skinny. She was underweight. So she said, I'll be back in 2 weeks. So she went on the big weight gain diet, and then she came back, and she was still just shy of it, and they technically couldn't let her in, and she argued her way into the NYPD.
Now, here is a clip of Christine Leung from the documentary Tea and Justice that I'm guessing gave you some pause.
There are professional agitators out there that goes with these protesters, that they like to agitate, and they like to, you know, make people stir people up. And, you know, that's what they do. And, you know, we have to try and understand. We have to keep our cool also. Sometimes it's difficult because we're outnumbered. We're in a situation that if we lose control, a lot of tragic things can happen.
And I'm saying maybe it gave you some pause because I understand you've been arrested at demonstrations.
Yes, I've been arrested at, just one demonstration. And for the most part, all the officers, you know, were very polite and civil, but there was one rogue cop, and he wasn't a person of color. So, you know, I had some conflict about whether to include this in my film where Christine talks about, oh, these political demonstrators, you know, there's so many of them who are professional. Some people advised me to leave it out, and I said, no, I want them to, you know, have their own opinion, because this is not, you know, this is something I want to document that they believe. But I also felt that this was a way to start bridging the gap between demonstrators and police officers in political demonstrations or even in communities of color where there's this tendency to demonize the other side.
Katrina in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Katrina.
Hi, Brian.
So what you got?
Well, I just want to say much respect to the ladies in the NYPD. I'm a carpenter in New York City, and I just am very happy to hear about more women in non-traditional employment.
And also Asian American?
Yes, I'm Filipino.
Uh-huh. So do you get reactions from people? Do people not trust a female carpenter? Is there any reaction to you as a Filipino carpenter?
Oh, not so much Filipino. People mostly assume that I'm Chinese.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, of course, it's really difficult as a woman in the field. On top of that, I'm also an apprentice. So it's like you're never sure if people are giving you a hard time because you're an apprentice or because you're a woman. So it's just like a game. I look at it like that. Mm-hmm. You have to learn the rules and how to manipulate the game as much as possible.
Katrina, thanks a lot. Now, we're almost out of time, but Dan in Manhattan wants to give a shout-out to you, too, I think. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Brian. How are you? Good morning.
Good. You were on the force?
I worked personally with Christine in narcotics many years ago, and I worked with Agnes in the intelligence division. And I just wanted to say hello to both of them. Hope they're doing well in their new careers or retirement. And although they were Asian females, it really didn't have a lot to do with how they carried themselves or how they were able to do their job. They went in and did their work professionally and responsibly every day. And they did it as females, but they did it as cops.
You're saying a good cop is a good cop.
Absolutely.
Was it hard at all for you or any of your white or male colleagues to come to that position that you just articulated?
No, I think bottom line is we're all members of Blue. We're all mm-hmm. In the Blue line, and we all right. work together. And
Dan, I have to leave it there. I'm sorry because we're flat out of time. But Ermina Vinlawan is the filmmaker of the new documentary Tea and Justice about three Asian women on the NYPD. Agnes Chan, retired detective, one of those women. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Agnes.
Where can people see this?
At the Queens International Film Festival this coming Saturday.